If you've ever wondered what the coronavirus actually felt like, you want to listen to this episode of The Leadersmith. I'm interviewing Chris McMillan. He's a 46-year-old who caught the coronavirus, went to the hospital, was intubated, and woke up 8 days later, mercifully. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
So welcome to the Leadersmith podcast. This is Darren Gurdis, and I'm here. I'm joined with Chris McMillan. Chris McMillan is a childhood friend. I mean, we went to elementary school together. I think you came to Hamilton Elementary School in third grade. Is that right?
Yes, third grade.
Third grade. And so we go way back, and through the magic of Facebook, I've kept up with things over time. And I saw in a Facebook post, and I was horrified by this, that Chris actually got the coronavirus. And I was like, whoa, what? Wait, you're 46, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm 46. You're 46. This isn't supposed to happen to us. But so at any rate, through Facebook, I found that, and like I said, we go way back. Like we played trumpet at the same time. He was far better than I ever was hoping to be. And I think we went to see, what was it, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom on one of your birthdays.
Isn't yes. That right? Yeah, that was fun. Wow, so, that's way back. That's like 82. Jeez.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Anyway, so I asked Chris if he wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners what it was like to actually have the coronavirus, since he's experienced it. And so I want you to take us back before you knew that you had this. Take us back to the shutdown, your home, or before you first got sick. What was going on?
I got sick on March 13th, which was pre-shutdown. About a day earlier, I went to a parent-teacher conference for my kids, and I had taken off that Thursday, March 13th. It's Friday the 13th of all days. When I got home, everything seemed fine. I was at my house in Bethlehem with the kids and everything. And then somewhere around 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday, I woke up with awful fever and I was like shaking the bed. I had the chills so bad. And then my fiance sent me down to the basement. We have a finished basement. She's like, all right, you got to isolate. We got to get you away from everybody else. And between March 13th and I think it was March 22nd, a Sunday, I spent in the basement pretty much by myself, fighting off a 102 degree fever,
yeah,
and chills and everything, and then my breathing getting shallower as I went. The shutdown happened while I was quarantined, so it really didn't affect me very much.
All right. So when did you know that you were like not just sick, but you were sick?
Well, I went and got a flu test and had to get a second flu test. There was a whole mess of things happened. Somehow, the place I went for a flu test sent it to Virginia for a whole metabolic panel of stuff that I didn't need. They were checking to see if I had like malaria and everything under the sun, so I got a second one, said I did not have the flu. Then I got a coronavirus test. And back then, they were taking a couple of days to get back. Mm-hmm. So one of Jen, my fiance, she has a nurse friend who she was in contact with the whole time. And her friend gave her like a checklist and said, look, you're going to look for this, 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 this. And on Sunday morning, that Sunday I went in, I kind of got up and I'm like, man, I can't breathe. Like it's really shallow now. Like, and she's like, okay. And she was like, well, do you feel this? I'm like, yep, you feel this? And we went through and I had everything. And it was at that point, she's like, you got to go to the ER. I said, okay. And so we called over and told them that I had all these symptoms. Then I was coming in, and when I walked in the door, they put me in an isolated room, and that was that.
Okay. So tell me about this. So I've had, I get bronchitis regularly because I'm a teacher. I asked the doctor, like, how do I not get this? He's like, get out of the sewer. I mean, it's just the classroom environment.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't do anything with it. So So I get bronchitis regularly. I know what that feels like. I've had pneumonia once. Have you had pneumonia before?
Not before this.
Okay, but you've had like bronchitis before?
Oh, I've had bronchitis before.
How is this different than what you felt before?
It's a fatigue and a strain where, like, we have a bathroom on our main floor. We didn't have one in the basement. I walk up to the bathroom and I was like getting winded, just getting up. Like, I'd get 3/4 of the way up the stairs and be like, all right, I'll make it. I'll get there.
So that's very similar to what I experienced when I had pneumonia. I was changing the light bulb in the ceiling and I was like, I'm getting winded from it. So it's probably a very similar symptom. So if you're feeling that kind of thing, that's probably a pretty good sign.
Yeah. I think the coronavirus, what it does is just basically like dumps you into pneumonia eventually. And you end up, and when I went to the ER, they checked my chest and they're like, oh yeah, you have pneumonia. You're here. And, they tried feeding me oxygen via the tube for 3 days and my blood ox level kept diving just, below 90. And so at that point they said, hey, we're going to intubate you and put you on a ventilator. And mind you, at this point, I had no idea what a ventilator was. Like, I was like, oh, a ventilator. Sounds great. Let's do it.
Aren't they saying on the news, we need more ventilators?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I thought like, oh, a ventilator, this is something I need to put a tube in me and I'm going to be fine. No problem. And then 8 days later, I woke up from a coma.
Wow.
And and they're like, oh yeah, you're okay now. And I'm like, what happened? And like, I had to go through the timeline a bunch of times. Well, let me get back to your actual question. I diverged a bit, but it basically, it feels like the breathing becomes more and more labored. And I got to the point where I would breathe in and it felt like I was going to the base of my throat with the breath and I couldn't get it any farther. I was like sipping breaths.
Wow.
And that's like pneumonia. That's what it feels like,
Okay. So it feels like pneumonia. You go to the hospital, they put you under, they put you in a ventilator, which I'm sure you weren't expecting anything like this because everything we heard in the news was like, look, you're not safe. Like, it would be like our parents that were worried about it. It's not our age bracket. So what was recovery like after the ventilator?
Well, when I woke up, I was the first patient at Lehigh Valley, LVHN, Lehigh Valley Health Network at the hospital I was at to actually be extubated, to be taken off a ventilator. And so they were all like, yay, he's done, great, And it was very strange. Like, I went, I was at the, in recovery at the hospital for 4 days. And what they say about ICU delirium is very true. Like, I hallucinated a bunch of things. I talked about it on Facebook. I hallucinated that I had a brother Hans who was trying to kill me. Now, I don't know if that came from like Die Hard movies or whatever. And I just my imagination went crazy, but I'll say I forgot how to do almost everything. Like, my physical body forgot how to eat and forgot how to brush my teeth. Like, the first day they were allowing me solid foods, they put me on a liquid diet for, the time I was under. I got French toast. I'm sitting there and I'm trying to pick up a fork and my hand was like smashing into the tray. I couldn't figure out how to get around it. And so I've got a fork in my fist, like I'm holding like a baseball bat. And I stuck the thing and I'm trying to bite into this French toast and I'm at least 3 to 4 inches away from my face and thinking I'm like sticking it in my mouth. And I had to like take both hands and actually push the fork into my face. They had to teach me how to brush my teeth again. Like, they got a nurse in there to hold my hand and get me to brush my teeth. And, eventually, when they let me walk, that was another fun milestone. They did like, okay, let's get you to stand up. And I stood up and immediately went over. It affects, I don't know if it's just being under, but this whole experience, like, it affects your musculature. I lost 20 pounds in the hospital in 15 days.
Wow.
It's not the recommended way to lose weight.
I would imagine. Like, wow. So this really, I mean, in so many ways, it was just so much more traumatic than what we would have thought. I mean,
And wow. And I'll say this: nurses and doctors, their bedside manner is unbelievable. Like, I was so thankful that they dealt with me, like me being like, you know, saying crazy stuff, but also being scared because there's no record of how you recover from this. And they were telling me, they're like, look, we're just keeping an eye on you, making sure everything's okay. We're making sure all your levels are okay. But because we don't know. We don't know what's coming up for you.
What was recovery like once you got home then? Were you able to function well, or how are you doing now?
I'm doing okay now. I'm feeling pretty much like 90% of where I was. Like, I still get tired. And I'm not near, like, before I went to the hospital. Last couple of years, I've been running, and I did a couple 10Ks and a couple 5Ks. And I was feeling pretty good. Like, I was getting my cardiovascular stuff in shape. And I don't want to try running yet. Like, I've been riding a bike with the kids. That's about it. When I got home, I was like walking with a cane because they wanted me to have some extra support. And I spent a lot of time just like basically sitting down and napping because it was like being wiped out. Like, my muscles, I came home and my fiance looked at me and was like, your legs are like toothpicks. And my arms were skinny too. And it just like everything was emaciated on me. And I immediately tucked into a big Italian sub and everything because it was, you know, hospital food is terrible. It takes a while, and you get your coordination back and everything. It takes a couple weeks.
Okay. But you feel like you're pretty well recovered now.
Yeah. I'm feeling more like myself every day. And it's, you know, I got out of the hospital on April 2nd and it's, you know, end of May, it's 2 months. So I'm feeling pretty normal right now.
Okay. So tell me this. So you were saying you were running 10Ks. Did you have any pre-existing conditions or that could have caused this, or were you just like completely caught off guard?
Well, my family has a history of heart disease. Like, both my parents have had bypasses and stuff. So I started trying to take care of myself that way a couple years ago. I mean, I wasn't running 10Ks like placing in 10Ks. I was running 10Ks like finishing 10Ks, you know, like, but I didn't walk in there with asthma or anything like, you know, I've still kept up with playing trumpet, and cardiovascularly, I was like, lung wise, I was okay. Like, breathing wise, I walked in there and, you know, feeling like I could, you know, I was okay with that. When I left, they had me on aspiration spirometer or something like that. It's like a device where they measure how you're able to breathe in. Mm-hmm. They have to like breathe in and keep a little ball on a thing at a certain level. You probably had, when you had pneumonia, they probably gave you the same kind of thing. And they were like, wow, you're doing great. So I said, well, I'm a trumpet player for 35, 40 years. And they're like, oh, well, this makes sense now. You know how to breathe. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, from your belly and all this stuff. And, but you know, I guess I didn't walk in there with anything pre-existing, I would say.
Oh, okay. So that makes it almost more scary to me that you didn't have anything pre-existing. So if anybody's listening to this and they're not taking the coronavirus seriously, what would you want them to know?
Just stay on top of your symptoms. That's the big one, is like, if you feel like have a fever, short of breath, coughing a lot, that's like indication one that you separate yourself from everybody else in your house, and just, you know, stay on top of what the symptoms are. Like, I didn't particularly lose taste or smell, mm-hmm. but I know other people who have had it who have lost that. And this is like something where, like a friend of mine called me who was experiencing symptoms, and he was worried, and we had a long conversation about it. And, you know, it's something where you're almost afraid to go in too early because the hospital say, well, you're fine, let's send you home. And you're afraid to go in too late because it's too late, you know?
Right.
I would say definitely keep an eye on symptoms and look at the checklist and try to go through it and go, all right, this is the time to go in. I'm starting to breathe shortly and feeling worn out all the time.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris. I always end the show with a quotation for contemplation. And I was trying to find something that fit, and I was wrestling between two. One was from Sun Tzu: the enlightened ruler is heedful, and the good general full of caution. Right? I was debating between that and Ben Franklin's "an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure." And I mean, that's both of these say, please be careful, take this seriously. I'm always amazed when people are like just congregating in large groups thinking, well, you know, it's not going to get me. No, and I think part of that is the popular notion that it's only going to affect senior citizens. And that was shocking to me when I saw what happened to you on Facebook, and I was going, oh man, that's I got to be a little extra careful. Okay, I'll give you the last word.
Just be careful and be kind. You know, that's the most important thing, is just be kind to each other.
Hey man, thanks a bunch for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Darren. It's great seeing you, man.
Yeah, okay. Take care.
All right, take care.
My friends, if this episode was helpful, please, please, please pass this along to somebody who needs to hear it, and stay safe. Thanks.